Hey guys, and welcome back. We are going to talk about a topic today that was asked by so many of you on the Q&A that I put up on Instagram stories last week. I've been meaning to respond to all those questions, but life has just been very, very hectic recently. And hopefully things will start settling down soon. I'll have to do like a life update episode because too many things to talk about here. But things are hopefully going to calm down very soon and I can be a bit more present and answer your questions on there because there were many good ones. But that's why I'm on here today. I'm going to answer one that came up many times and it'll actually be easier because I think I can even give you obviously more information on here than I can in an Instagram story. So the topic for today and the question that I'm answering is what to do for hormone balance. So what to do for hormone balance? And this is a really broad topic. So I'm not going to go obviously into all of the details here because it does depend based on each body and based on the type of hormone imbalance and based on why the hormone imbalance is happening. But we're going to go through some main points that I think can be helpful for you guys. And some of you asked just what can I do for hormone balance? Some of you asked, I'm just got off the pill and my hormones are off. Some of you aren't getting periods or you're having period issues. So it's kind of just this big umbrella hormone topic. And like I said, it is very personalized and individualized, but I'm here to just kind of give you a general idea of things you can look at and things you can do and things you can be aware of in order to bring your hormones back to balance and feel better. So let's start with just the fact that hormones are very, very complicated. When you see information online, you have people who do 3-month hormone course and think they're hormone experts. But doctors spend years learning about hormones and understanding hormones. So we just have to be very conscious that the information you see on the internet when it comes to hormones, and especially on Instagram and TikTok, is very, very, very simplified and many times not correct. So first, it is important to just see a doctor, do the testing that they say, and many times they're going to say that everything is normal. So that's when you can start digging a little deeper, and that's what we do with many of our clients. They come back, their lab tests are normal or in range, but they're still having symptoms. But I just want to say that because it is important to see a doctor first. There's a lot of anti-doctor sentiment happening online, and I definitely understand part of it. And a lot of you guys in our community have suffered from going to a doctor and just feel like you're not heard. And, you know, they just say your labs are normal and they send you off with a prescription for birth control or spironolactone or whatever it may be. And I know that can be so, so frustrating, but that doesn't mean that we skip that step. We still want to do that. And then we say, okay, if they see that everything's normal, we can then dig a little bit deeper, look into the root cause and say, okay, your lab tests are normal, but this might be happening. This might be happening because many times your labs are normal, but you don't feel good. And listening to your body and listening to your symptoms is very, very important. But it's just to kind of start off by saying that doctors have very much a place when it comes to endocrinology and hormones, and we don't want to skip that step just because we saw an Instagram post about hormones from somebody that studied it for just 3 months. So let's quickly touch on the types of hormone imbalances that you could be suffering from. So one, a very common one, is thyroid imbalances that can lead to hypothyroidism or Hashimoto's. Then there are cortisol imbalances, and that's your stress hormone that can then affect all the rest of your hormones. There's estrogen imbalances. There's different estrogen pathways. And if you are leaning more towards one of them, it could be causing you issues like PMS, fibroids, things like that. Then we have testosterone. Many times we see high testosterone, which can lead to acne and issues kind of in that more higher androgen world, which we're seeing much more frequently. Then there's other ones, there's progesterone, there's DHEA, but these are kind of like the most common ones that we see. And like I said, hormones are complex. There's this very delicate dance that happens between hormones. And a really important thing to keep in mind is we're not just treating one hormone and then everything gets into place. For example, if testosterone is high and we see that the alpha pathway of the testosterone metabolite is high, there are inhibitors to block that pathway to maybe make symptoms go down for a period of time, but that's not going to solve the root cause of it. And usually almost always the root cause is the gut. And I don't say that because I work with the gut. I say that because even when people do hormone testing, the hormone testing people will tell them, okay, we see this is high, this is low. What do? You work on your gut. You work on the gut lining. You work on gut dysbiosis, on inflammation. That almost always stems from the gut. And that's because the gut, like I said before, hormones have like this delicate dance that happens in the body between all of them in order to keep you in balance, to keep you energized, to keep your weight healthy, to keep you focused, to keep you fertile. And the gut is this conductor of your hormones. So if your gut is not functioning well, your hormones are going to be all over the place. And that's because a lot of the hormone conversion happens in the gut. For example, with thyroid hormones, with estrogen, with so many of the hormones are regulated in the gut. So if your gut is not functioning well, we almost always see some sort of hormone imbalances. And when we see hormone imbalances, they're many, many, many times almost always solved with working on the gut. We'll talk about hormone testing maybe at the end. We don't do hormone testing that much because every time I would do hormone testing, the results and when I would review them with the specialists would say, okay, let's work, make sure that they're working on the gut dysbiosis, the leaky gut. Testosterone's high, but let's work on the gut. Estrogen's high, let's work on the gut. So that's why we don't do hormone testing as much, because we realize if we focus on the gut, most of the hormone imbalances get solved, which for some is frustrating because sometimes people want a very precise solution for that hormone. But usually it's actually such a relief because it's like, okay, we work on the gut and then everything falls into place. And what we see very, very frequently is that once we solve constipation, many hormone balances get resolved. Because if you're constipated, and that means constipated is if you're not going every day. Many people are going every other day and think that's normal, but it's really not. It's very common, but it's not normal. And not going and detoxing in that sense every day can lead to hormonal imbalances. So there's many people that come into our coaching program and they've tried everything for hormones, supplements, cycle syncing, this, that, but they're still constipated. And I always say, you can be doing all these other things. If you don't open that detox pathway and you're not eliminating every day, you're going to be fighting such an uphill battle and the imbalances in your hormones will only get worse. You'll have more symptoms. It'll be harder to have good periods. And even if you do have good periods and don't have the typical hormone symptoms, they're still going to lead to imbalances down the line in the gut if you're not eliminating, or in the gut and in the hormones, if you're not eliminating every single day. So that's just an example that we see really, really frequently come into our coaching practice. And it's just to say that the gut is such an important part of your hormones, and it's really just the most effective solution when it comes to fixing hormonal imbalances, much more important than what types of fats you're having, supplements, fast, you know, all of that. It's really, really, really the gut when it comes to pretty much every single one of your hormones. And what about beyond gut health? Like, what things could be affecting your hormones? So how much you're eating can definitely affect hormones. If you're under eating and you've had a history of dieting, that can, of course, affect your hormones, which I'm sure you already know. How much fat you're having, if you're having too much or too little, or too much or too little of the wrong kinds, maybe you're getting too many of the inflammatory fats and not enough of the omega-3 fats. How much movement you're getting, that can really impact your cycle and your hormones as well. So if you get too much movement or too little movement, fasting can definitely affect your cycle because fasting can really increase cortisol levels. It can also affect how much you're eating. And that both directly and indirectly can impact your hormones, your cycle, any symptoms that you're feeling. So those are some other things that can play into hormone balance. And I say too much or too little because it's really hard to say in general how much, because each body is so different. Even when it comes to fasting, for one body, you know, 14 hours can be great. For another body, it can be detrimental. Same with movement. So here I'm being very general, maybe annoyingly general, but it's not because I don't want to get into the detail. It's just because based on each body, it's a little bit different. And maybe we'll dive into the specifics in another episode where I can explain the nuances a little bit more. And then another kind of thing that plays into hormones that a lot of you probably already know about is cycle syncing. And that can be a really nice one to help optimize your hormones. It might not fix everything, but it's kind of this other layer that we can use to help optimize your hormones. And I like to say that one of the biggest parts of cycle syncing is learning to listen to your body. Because if you learn to listen to your body, you will naturally cycle sync. And we don't have to get down. Sometimes, you know, on Instagram, we see the lists of the exact foods you need to eat and the exact four phases of your cycle. And there's really not too much research behind it. If it gives you like a nice structure and inspiration to use for each part of your cycle, great, no problem. But I don't think like if it's too stressful for you to follow those specific lists, it's definitely not what's going to move the needle. So really the important thing to keep in mind with cycle syncing is listening to your body, pushing it when you can push it, but not pushing it too hard when you shouldn't based on the phases of your cycle. So for example, before your period is time when you really need to relax more, eat more, and usually your body will tell you that. So if you learn to tune into your body, it'll be much easier. So I think we'll have to do a whole episode about cycle syncing because it's a fun one and it's one that really, really makes a difference. That's something that for me, when I was trying to optimize my hormones, made a really big difference. And it's something that I really wasn't, it's something that we're not taught and I wasn't aware of at all in the beginning of my journey. But the more you do it, the better you feel. And the more you realize like how important it is. There's a reason that your hormone cycle, we're not like a man that our hormones cycle every 24 hours, hormone cycle every 28 days. And there's a reason that 1 week we feel like this and we have more energy and more creativity and a better mood. And then the next week, our hormones dive and it makes sense that our mood's a little bit more apathetic and we're not as creative or focused and don't really feel like going out as much. So it's really beautiful learning how your hormones affect your expression in the outer world and listening to that. And for the final part here, just talking a little bit about testing. And I mentioned this a little bit in the beginning, but one of the most common tests right now for hormones is the Dutch test, which I love. I do think it's a good test and I think it's interesting. And as a practitioner, I love seeing the results because it's just very interesting. But it's not always necessary just because, like I said many times, and I just got off a call yesterday with a Dutch health specialist about a client result because there were some funky things going on and I just wanted to clarify. And for almost all of the things, it was like, okay, work on your gut, work on your gut, work on your gut. And so, yes, it's nice to see what's going on, but many times the solution is the same. And that's why I don't always push people to do the hormone test. It's not always necessary. It's much more important to look at the gut. That's some of my basic thoughts about the Dutch test. And then another thing to keep in mind is thyroid testing. If you or your doctor or your dietitian or health practitioner do suspect thyroid issues, it is really important to do a full thyroid panel with the 7 values because sometimes the initial values are normal, but the antibodies are high. And then that indicates that there's some inflammatory thyroid condition like Hashimoto's happening. And we want to know that sooner rather than later. We just had a client, wasn't my client, but it was one of the dietitians on my team, had a client that the normal thyroid values were totally normal and the antibodies were high. And if we hadn't done the full thyroid panel, we would have had no idea. So that's something important. That is something that many doctors don't initially do. And that is something that is, in my opinion, important to push for if you can. Okay, that was very rapid fire hormone overview, but I hope that it gave you some things to think about and some questions to ask, because sometimes if you know the right questions to ask, that's really the best starting point. So hopefully this made you aware of some things that could be affecting hormone imbalances. And I'm going to try to do a future episode, maybe about more specific supplements like inositol, maybe most of you know it as ovacetol, and other hormone supplements that can help. And we've seen a really big difference with, and hopefully another episode about coming off of birth control, because in the Q&A, many of you had questions about that, about hormonal acne more specifically, and things like that. So I didn't want to go into too much into this one because like I said, hormones are such a big topic and it can get overwhelming and confusing. So hopefully this gave you a nice little glimpse. Thank you for all of your questions. I hope that once life calms down a little bit, I am going to answer them. And thank you for listening into this. If you have any questions about this, if anything was confusing or you want me to clarify anything, please let me know. Thank you as always for being here.